All right, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue. And I'll just remind you guys that Stan McDonald, attorney Stan McDonald, is the sponsor daily of the Right Side Way monologue. A 30-year veteran of the practice of law, I will tell you more about Stan McDonald, the Right Side Way sponsor, in just a few minutes. All right, let me just say again, this is Holy Week, right? It is. It's Holy Week, a week that Christians the world over consider to be the most important in the dates that mark our faith. Beginning with Palm Sunday, moving through to Good Friday and Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. This week marks the legacy that Christians share in knowing that our God saw fit to make the ultimate sacrifice by sending His Son Jesus to take our place. I believe that. I do. With all my heart. And I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. And what's so refreshing to me, what's so refreshing overall, is to know that my president apparently feels the same way. Yesterday, President Trump issued a proclamation. He announced that Holy Week at the White House will, in fact, be holy. A week filled with prayer, worship, remembrance, and humble celebration right there in our nation's capital. And when I heard it, I could not help but think of the book of Joshua. Joshua had taken the place of Moses, which were big shoes to fill, man. But Joshua had taken the place of Moses, no small thing, and the Israelites were doing their usual cycle of worshiping pagan idols versus worshiping the God that brought them out of Egypt. And in chapter 24, Joshua stood before the people, and he didn't berate them, he didn't belittle them. He just reminded them who they were and who their God was. And he reminded them how much the Lord had carried them through, and then he led them. In verse 15, Joshua boldly said to the people that he was appointed to lead, that they could follow the other little g gods if they wanted to, but, quote, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was leadership and faith, and it drew people back to the Lord. And I'm glad to see that's the same tone that we're getting right now from our current White House, that as for Donald Trump and his team at our White House, they will serve the Lord. It was just last year, if you think about it, it was just last year that former President Joe Biden decided that Easter Sunday was to be declared the Transgender Day of Visibility. Well, now, I don't know if that proclamation was signed with auto pen or not, but the fact is it sent shockwaves through the country. In one fell swoop, the Biden White House decided to spend the holiest of holy days worshiping idols, praising the created instead of the creator. You may also remember one of those too weird to be true, but yet it is kind of moments when Kamala Harris, just a few months ago, dissed on Christians everywhere at one of her political rallies. There was a young man there who yelled out, "Jesus is Lord!" And she got that smarmy, "I'm about to school you" look on her face, and she said, "Oh, I think you came to the wrong rally." And while the audience laughed and jeered at the young man, she felt empowered by her ill-timed, misguided, secular sense of humor. She said, "I think you meant to go to the smaller rally down the street," meaning Trump. The audience howled and guffawed and mocked, and she looked so proud. And then reality began to set in as it began to be reported nationwide, and she had so glibly mocked a man for shouting Jesus is Lord and implied that the message was better suited to the Trump-Vance rally across town. In one fell swoop, Kamala Harris told Christian voters that their faith-based political views were not welcome in her camp. Christians everywhere took note. Christians everywhere took note of what was going on in our White House, what was going on in their campaigns, and we voted for something different. So here's my question for you, though. Can we mix faith and politics? Can we? Can we mix faith and politics? It's a fair question. But Phil, what about separation of church and state? What about it? What about it? There's a First Amendment that affords every citizen the right to freedom of religion. Public officials are citizens too, right? My salvation is not based on my works. I don't earn my way to heaven, but yet the Bible does tell me that faith without works is dead, so therefore I must show my faith to others as proof of it. Well, how about this? Donald Trump claims to be a man of faith. He says he's always known of God and then believed in God and then became more faithful with God as he got later in life. But then he also says that when he was able to survive the assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania, that he had a life-changing moment and he knows that God spared him and his faith dramatically increased. Look, some years ago when I was in the state Senate, a bill came up that dealt with pro-life issues. I don't remember which one it was in particular. There were several pro-life bills that I carried or co-sponsored. But I do remember the opposition on this one. There was one lady in particular who was absolutely spiteful. I mean, just like grossly obnoxious. Her vitriol against the pro-life measures always came across as being mean-spirited personal attacks. She was an absolutely bitter person, and it showed. On one occasion, I was accused of doing the most heinous thing by her, the most unforgivable. I was accused of letting my faith mix with my politics. Say it ain't so, Phil. You really didn't act like a Christian in the political realm, did you? Well, I hope I did. You see, when I got elected to represent the Senate District 10, I was not elected to be less than who I am. I ran as a conservative, I ran as a patriot, and I ran as an unabashed believer in Christ. Why would I leave that at home? Because you see, if my faith is the most important thing to me, and it makes me who and what I am, then how could I possibly not take it with me into politics? So of course I took it into politics. I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't. The truth is, whether it be me running for the Alabama State Senate or Donald Trump running for the presidency in D.C., the truth is we had better mix our faith with politics. And we voters had better pray about our vote. And we better mix our faith-based values and traditions and principles with our politics, because if we don't take those positions of faith in the public square, then somebody else will just take the opposite into the public square. Like Joe Biden, who declares it the Transgender Day of Visibility. And next thing we know, we got transgenders exposing themselves on the White House lawn, thinking it's all cute for a photo op for their Instagram account. Look, there's an amazing story that I love in Scripture. It's in 2 Kings 22 and 23. It's worth the read. You couldn't make a movie better than this. A boy named Josiah became the king. He was only 8 years old when he became the king, and his father before him had been the king and done a horrible job. And the nation of Israel was in spiritual decay. So much so that as he got a bit older and he was in his 20s, the most holy site, the Temple of Jerusalem, was filled up with idols and pagan worship and male prostitutes, believe it or not. And on a purely secular basis, King Josiah, now a young man, decided he was going to repair the temple because it was falling apart. So in the course of doing so, though, the workers in this passage found what they simply called a book. That's it, just a book. And they brought it to the king, and he didn't know what it was either. But then he began to read it. And he realized that he was holding the Torah, the Bible, if you will. The nation of Israel had fallen so far from grace that the king himself didn't even know what the Bible was. But once he read it, wow! I mean, he gathered all the people and he read it to them personally. And then he tore down the idols. And then he pledged to lead them in godly fashion. He called on them to celebrate their own Holy Week, Passover, and it says that the people responded overwhelmingly and followed his leadership. At the end of that story, when Josiah finally passed away, it says in 2 Kings 23, verse 25, it says that there was never a king before him nor after him who turned to the Lord as he did. Think about having that for a eulogy. In all the Bible, filled with names like Moses and Isaiah and Abraham and David and more, nobody, apparently, was a leader like this guy named Josiah, who stood up in front of his own people and challenged them to serve the God that they had forgotten about. Dr. Ben Carson spoke last fall at the Alabama Policy Institute dinner and did a wonderful job. I had a great time being there. At one point, he said something I thought was profound, and so I made a note so I wouldn't forget it. He said this, speaking about faith, Carson said, quote, "It is said that there are two things we should never talk about in public, politics and religion." And then he said, "But those are the two things we must talk about because those are where we are being attacked." And he's so right. But I'll go one step further. Not only should we talk about those two things, but I believe that we absolutely 100% unequivocally should talk about them together. Christians need to care about who's elected to make and enforce the laws that govern our country. Christians need to not only care about who's elected, but Christians also need to vote their faith, run for office, seek the opportunity to carry their faith into the public square. I mean, it's really simple. Either we as Christians speak out about our faith, or those who don't believe like we do will speak out about their faith or lack thereof. I'd rather it be us than them. And I'll take it another step further. Good stewardship of that which we've been entrusted is not only sought, it is expected. What will we do with this country that we've been given? Will we as Christians take bold action and grow it and shepherd it and be good stewards of it? Or are we going to sit on our haunches and just wait to see what happens? I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be the one who in the end realizes I had an opportunity to do something to advance this great nation in a way that increases our capabilities, enhances our strengths, protects life, liberty, and property, and, oh, by the way, promotes a belief in an almighty God who loves me in spite of myself. but instead I just did nothing? I don't want to be that guy. You don't either. Listen, our faith is not based on works. I believe that. I believe that my salvation is assured because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. No other way. But there are two parts to being a Christian. There's making Him Savior, and there's making Him Lord of our lives. A friend of mine said last night in my church small group, he said, "My salvation was instant, but my sanctification takes a lifetime." He was right. He was right in that we have a lifetime of work to do, and as Christians, that does not mean doing it everywhere except in politics. You see, sometimes Christians need to be busy being Christians, not in a braggadocious, ostentatious way, but in a real and practical way. So Christians, listen to me. Yeah, it's Holy Week. And yes, our president just called on us to recall our Holy Week. Faith and politics, they go together like a hand in a glove. If you sit it out because it's politics, then you're wrong. Get up, get busy, and be political. Put your faith out there in the public square. Faith and politics, they do go well together. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.